Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice.
Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm Jonathan Burness, joined again with my co-host Ezra Benjamin. Well, if you've been watching this show for some time, you know that we're about sharing the gospel, the good news that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. Specifically, our ministry is bringing the gospel to the Jew first, according to Romans 1:16. You may not know it, but the gospel is not a New Testament concept. It's actually found in the Old Testament. And today we're going to take you back to the Hebrew Scriptures to help you understand the original Jewish context of the gospel. Stay tuned, because we'll also be providing an opportunity so that you can share the gospel with thousands all over the world. So Ezra, let's dig into this idea that the gospel is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
It's not something that begins in the New Testament. It actually goes back to the Jewish scriptures. We call it the Tanakh, the Torah,
right,
the prophets, the writings.
The Old Testament, to use Christian language.
I was just going to say, in fact, the early disciples shared the gospel not out of the New Testament.
Right.
Because the New Testament hadn't even been written yet.
Exactly. And so, Jonathan, I think maybe where we should start is some familiar territory. And what I mean by that is the New Testament word for gospel. And maybe we should even define what is the gospel anyway. And then let's take that back to where we see the same foundational concept in the Old Testament.
Good.
That work for you?
Well, let's do
All
it.
Right. So in the New Testament, which is written primarily in Greek, the word for gospel, what is the gospel? Maybe get a pen, write this down. It's evangelion. And that's a kind of a fancy, maybe hard to memorize word. Evangelion in Greek literally means the proclamation of the good news concerning the Messiah.
Right.
It's kind of this compound word, evangelion, the proclamation of the good news concerning the Messiah. And what's interesting to me there is it's not just the good news, it's the proclamation of the good news.
Yeah.
So built into the idea
that's
of
important.
What is the gospel is speaking forth, proclaiming this good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
We're going to talk more about that because that's important.
Right.
So we'll come back to that.
Right. And I'm thinking of a passage in Paul's letters to the Corinthians where he actually defines the gospel. You want to know what is the gospel? He says, this is it. I've passed on to you of first importance what I heard. And it's this, that it says Christ Jesus or Yeshua the Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, what scriptures? As Jonathan, as you said, there were no New Testament scriptures. Paul's saying according to the Old Testament, according to the Jewish scriptures. And it goes on, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul's saying we know according to the Hebrew scriptures, according to what the prophets foresaw hundreds of years before Jesus would come, that the Messiah would have to die, but that he wouldn't stay in the ground. And that also, equally importantly, that his resurrection was witnessed by many in the weeks, in the 40-some days after his resurrection. So that, in
hundreds,
a nutshell,
in
is
fact.
The gospel. Right.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of the proclamation of this good news, that we have a Messiah who's died for our sins and who didn't stay in the grave. And his resurrection is the confirmation of his authority to forgive sins and even to overcome death.
It's so clear, but so important to point out, because so many miss this, that Paul says, according to the scriptures.
That's right.
Not the gospels, but according to the Jewish scriptures.
That's right.
It's all in there.
Exactly.
It's Jesus, all in there.
As we say so often, as you say so often, the gospel is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New.
Right.
Jesus isn't coming to invent some new religion. He's coming to fulfill what Moses and the prophets had told Israel they should hope and expect and pray for. The days when a Redeemer would come for the house of Israel, but not just the house of Israel, for all from the nations who would call upon his name.
So, Ezra, you've given us the Greek gospel.
Right.
You've given us the Greek word. Let's dive into the Hebrew.
Sure. So let's turn our attention now back to the Old Testament, and we're in Isaiah 61, Jonathan.
And we'll put this up so
right.
you can see
many
this.
Many of our viewers today have probably heard this passage. Maybe you even quote it in your churches and your worship services. It's quoted in some songs. But let's look at the context here. This is Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, and it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." And a lot of translations, Jonathan, that "me" is a capital M. Why? Because it's understood that this is the Lord. This isn't Isaiah. This is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. So the "me" is the Lord. I believe it's the Messiah. It's Jesus hundreds of years before
yes.
he comes to earth. Okay, so "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And we need to stop right there. You remember that phrase, proclaim good news. Again, it doesn't just say to bring good news or to be good news. It's to proclaim good news. And the Hebrew word there is besorah. And in Hebrew, just like Evangelion in the Greek, it's not just good news. It's proclaim good news. It's a compound word. And the idea there is good news which isn't proclaimed isn't really that good news at all. It has to be proclaimed.
Yeah, that's such a good point. They go together.
Exactly.
One is meaningless without the other.
Exactly. And what's interesting here, actually, just a few words before, the Lord, the Father, if you will, has anointed me. The word there, Jonathan, is Mashiach. It's Messiah. There's an anointing. Messiah in Hebrew literally means anointed one. So we call Jesus the Christ, which is a Greek way, Christos, of saying a Hebrew word, Mashiach or Messiah. And it's literally, why is Jesus the Messiah? Because he's anointed by the Father to proclaim good news.
That's so good, Ezra. And there's so much in this passage.
Right.
And it is proclaimed by Jesus himself.
Exactly.
This is great. So he proclaims it, and then he actually demonstrates it.
Right.
In healing, setting people free.
Right.
This is the gospel.
There it is.
In Isaiah.
And you know, Jonathan, this isn't the only time we see this passage. Jesus actually reads this.
Right.
In a synagogue, we see it in Luke 4. I'll quickly turn there now, but it says Jesus went into a synagogue. And remember, Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. He's living in a Jewish culture, in a Jewish religious context. And so, of course, he would go and he would teach and minister in the local synagogues. And it says that this scroll of Isaiah was handed to him, and he reads this same passage. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." He's Messiah'd me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And it says, "And then he rolled up the scroll and said to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" And the whole synagogue is shocked because he's saying, "I'm the anointed one who's come to proclaim good news from God."
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, to he clearly states, I'm the one that fulfills this.
Exactly.
But he does. He proclaims his messiahship. You know, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians.
Sure.
Which so clearly lays out the gospel.
Right.
His death.
Yes.
His burial. His resurrection.
Exactly.
The witnesses to his resurrection.
Right.
And you have scriptures in the Old Testament that proclaim
right.
in detail. In fact, over 300
exactly.
that proclaim in detail every aspect
right.
of the Messiah's life, where he would be born, beginning in Bethlehem.
Exactly.
Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 5, he'll be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 53, which reads like it's right out of the New Testament.
Exactly.
Right? That he'll give his life as a lamb led to the slaughter.
Right.
And in particular, that it's for his people, his own people.
Exactly.
That he dies for his own people, and God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
And by his stripes we are healed. And I'm looking at that passage right now, Jonathan, but it says in Isaiah 53, verse 11, "After he's suffered, he'll see the light of life and be satisfied." And David says, your Holy One, your Messiah, God, will not see decay in another passage. All of that is what Paul's talking about when he says that Jesus rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. It's not a New Testament invention. It's a fulfillment of the Jewish Scriptures.
Even down to the detail, this is what's so amazing to me, that he would be, that he would die between two thieves.
Right.
There's so much detail buried in the tomb of a rich man. It all came to pass. You know, Ezra, I grew up in a Jewish home, and I never saw these things
right.
until I was in college, and it was astounding.
Yeah.
Changed my
Here
life.
They are.
Well, the Great Commission commands us to go out and to proclaim, to share the gospel. An easy and impactful way that you can do this is to become a monthly partner with Jewish Voice. We call these our Shalom partners, ambassadors of peace around the world. Learn more right now.
Romans 1:16 states, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You and I must not be ashamed to share the gospel, and it's an honor to be a messenger of Jesus the Messiah.
The passage goes on, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes.
The Jewish people have witnessed the power and faithfulness of God throughout our history. We know Him as deliverer, provider, sustainer.
But sadly, millions of Jewish people around the world don't yet know Him as Redeemer or Savior.
Which brings us to the final words of this verse. The gospel is the power of salvation to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile.
If you're already a Shalom partner, I want to say thank you. Your regular financial support, and this is critical, your faithfulness makes it possible for us to respond immediately when God presents a new gospel opportunity.
Please consider making an extra one-time gift today to meet the needs in Jewish communities around the world in Jesus' name.
That would be such a blessing to so many around the world. We hope to hear from you today. Here's how.
Your gift today of any size or your new role as a monthly Shalom partner will impact the lives of people we may never meet until we gather in eternity. Again, from all of us at Jewish Voice Ministries International, thank you so much.
Ezra, those clips are really the core of what we do here at Jewish Voice.
They sure are.
We transform lives through medical and humanitarian aid, but most importantly, proclaiming the gospel to Jewish people around the world.
That's
from the inside out.
That's right.
That's how a life has changed.
It's the heartbeat of this ministry.
It is.
And Jonathan, let's jump right back into the Scriptures if you're good with that. I bet you're good with that watching at home. But I want to focus on what we just said, proclaiming the gospel, because I'm convicted by it. The more I study the Scriptures about it and this idea that a gospel which is not proclaimed, good news about the Messiah, good news about reconciliation and forgiveness with God, which isn't proclaimed, is actually not a whole gospel at all. And we see that, you know, we've been in Isaiah 61 here, but I'm looking at a passage in Isaiah 52
that we see
repeated in Romans. We'll look at that in just a minute. But you know this passage, I bet you do, and it's Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." It's that same word, Besorah, the proclamation of good news from God, "who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and who say to Zion, your God reigns." And again, that idea, not just those who have good news inside them or those who write about good news, how beautiful upon the mountains are those who proclaim good news, who proclaim salvation to Zion, to all who would hear, but it's specifically here to Zion, representing to the Jewish people.
Yeah, I think, Ezra, that we're living in a day, first of all, this is not talked about enough.
Right.
I think you'll agree with me. This is just not talked about enough. And we're living in a day when the gospel, there's a lack of gospel proclamation. Hmm. And I think there's a number of factors, but there's such a resistance.
Yeah.
And I understand what it's like to deal with the fear of sharing your faith. I know what it's like to deal with the pressure of jumping into. How do you just begin to share the gospel with someone, and right. it's easier to avoid.
Exactly.
It's a spiritual battle, really, yeah. to do it.
I think part of it is that we wrongly assume that the response of the hearer depends upon us. And yet that's not what the scriptures say, is it? And I'm thinking about Romans 10 here, even Romans 1:16, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Remember gospel. So Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the proclamation of the good news of the Messiah, because that proclamation is the power of God unto salvation for all who would believe. And so it's God's responsibility between that person and himself, their response. It's our responsibility to proclaim.
Yeah. The gospel works, but only when we share it.
Right.
That's the whole point of this.
Jonathan, Romans 10, I know you teach on this a lot.
I do.
Verse 14, how can they call on the one whom they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to you and preaching to them? And this whole passage is Paul trying to explain to a predominantly non-Jewish audience about the Jewish people's wide-scale rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. But he's saying, how do they even have a chance to believe and call upon the Lord unless someone preaches
to them? Whole context here, Ezra, and this is universal.
Yeah.
You apply this to everyone because it's a universal principle.
Right.
But in context, he's talking about the Jewish people, as you said.
Right.
And he begins in Romans 9 by saying, I'd give up my eternity for the salvation of my brethren, the people of Israel. They gave us the law. They gave us the prophets.
Right.
They gave us the patriarchs. All of these things that the Jewish people brought to the world, to the body.
Right.
To the church, and then in Romans 10, he said, God's not finished with the Jewish people. He hasn't failed. He's sovereign. And then Romans 10 is dealing with the simplicity of the gospel, that if it's proclaimed as it needs to be, to be the gospel, then people will respond. But they can't respond, which takes faith, unless they hear.
Right.
And they can't hear unless one proclaim. And no one will proclaim unless they understood that they're sent. You're sent. Every one of us is sent. But the one who is obedient and proclaims the good news will share with people that hear.
Right.
Ultimately will hear a second time, because it's mentioned twice, because God is preparing their hearts. The gospel works when it's proclaimed.
Right.
They'll believe and confess unto salvation.
Exactly.
And then this principle we hear with the ear, we believe with the heart, we confess with the mouth unto salvation.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Paul's saying here in Romans 10. And he says, how can they preach, as you just quoted, Jonathan, unless they're sent, as it is written? Paul finishes this passage quoting the Hebrew scriptures. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He's saying the fulfillment of Isaiah 52 is those who would open their mouths and proclaim the good news about the Messiah, that we have a Redeemer and his name is Jesus.
Yeah. Very simply also in the same chapter, faith cometh by hearing.
Right.
And hearing by the word of God. The word of God will not fail. The gospel will not fail. It's just as powerful as it was when it was proclaimed 2,000 years ago. And look at the results. Do you want to see your family saved? Do you want to see your friends saved? Do you want to see your community saved? The answer is to put the gospel into action by proclaiming it. And you will be blessed.
Exactly.
Blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news.
Amen. I want my feet to be blessed. And really, this passage has convicted me. Am I opening my mouth? Are we opening our mouths? Are you opening your mouth to declare, to proclaim that good news? And sometimes, like you said, Jonathan, we go, well, what if they don't receive it? What if they do?
Yeah.
And their life is changed.
I don't know about you, Ezra, but I'll just say it in front of everyone. I'm convicted right now because I need to proclaim the gospel more.
We do need to proclaim. As we're both saying to each other, we're convicted. And, you know, Lord, help us to open our mouths to make known that mystery of the gospel, as Paul says, that good news, which is power from God unto salvation for all who would believe. And the scripture we know says first for the Jew, that it's this Greek word proton. It doesn't mean like you're lining people up and the Jewish person is first and the Gentile, the non-Jewish person second. It's that the power of God unto salvation is necessarily first for Israel. Why? Because it's the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel, that he expands to include all peoples, tribes, and tongues. Because it's too small a thing that he would just save Israel. But the gospel is first for the Jew and also for the Gentile, also for the nations. And yet, Jonathan, there's this idea out there, even in some Christian circles today, that you don't want to offend the Jewish people with the gospel. That the gospel, in fact, isn't first to the Jew. It's not for the Jew.
Yeah. And you're withholding, sadly.
Right.
I say this, you're loving Jewish people unto death.
Right.
I know that's strong, but it's true, because the gospel is the only way for salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. You know, Ezra, I've been a believer 43 years now, and I've experienced thousands of Jewish people responding to the gospel, and tens of thousands of people in general. And the impact of sharing the gospel at a time when God was moving in a very unique way, for example, in the former Soviet Union, and just about everyone I shared with, the gospel worked. And I led families, I led extended families as I was invited into little homes packed with family members. I experienced their response to the gospel. In some cases, the entire household being saved. We've seen villages in Ethiopia of Jewish people coming to faith. How? By the proclamation of the gospel. We've seen it in Africa. It's time for America. Amen. I really believe it's time for America. I really believe it's time for your family. I really believe it's time for the people that you've been praying for to be saved, to come into salvation. Don't give up. Keep praying, but also tactfully and led by the Holy Spirit, proclaim the gospel and watch what happens. Amen. Ezra and I are going to pray for your needs in just a minute, but we want to ask you if you would partner with us monthly to share the gospel. Not only do we share the gospel, but we establish congregations in Jewish communities to fulfill the command to go and make disciples of all nations. Your support today will help us to train and establish more congregations for discipleship. Please watch, and we'll return to pray with you next.
Romans 1:16 states, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You and I must not be ashamed to share the gospel, and it's an honor to be a messenger of Jesus the Messiah.
The passage goes on, "Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes."
The Jewish people have witnessed the power and faithfulness of God throughout our history. We know him as deliverer, provider, sustainer.
But sadly, millions of Jewish people around the world don't yet know him as redeemer or savior.
Which brings us to the final words of this verse. The gospel is the power of salvation to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile.
If you're already a Shalom partner, I want to say thank you. Your regular financial support, and this is critical, your faithfulness makes it possible for us to respond immediately when God presents a new gospel opportunity.
Please consider making an extra one-time gift today to meet the needs in Jewish communities around the world in Jesus' name.
That would be such a blessing to so many around the world. We hope to hear from you today. Here's how.
Your gift today of any size or your new role as a monthly Shalom partner will impact the lives of people we may never meet until we gather in eternity. Again, from all of us at Jewish Voice Ministries International, thank you so much.
We try to make time in every program to pray for your needs, and we know how many needs there are. We get your prayer requests by email, by letter. And Ezra, there's some real significant needs out there. People that can't pay their rent right now because of the growing inflation. They're having trouble buying food.
Sure.
There's people that are facing terminal illness either they're facing it or their spouse or loved one is facing it.
Another need we hear so often, and we want to join you in prayer about this as well as your other needs today, is people's grief, people's concern over family members who are far from the Lord, either who have walked away or who have never met the Lord, have never experienced salvation and forgiveness.
And others that need to hear the gospel. You're praying for their salvation.
Right.
Well, the proclamation of the gospel works. Ezra, will you just take a moment?
I will.
We'll join together.
Lord, we thank you that your word says salvation belongs to the Lord. And
yes,
we thank you, Jesus,
Lord,
that you have the name Yeshua,
yes,
salvation, which is above every name. And so we pray, Lord, that you would visit the families, the workplaces, the communities of those watching today, the people in their minds, the people they've carried before your throne in prayer for months and years,
Lord,
decades even. Would you visit them and their households with
Touch
salvation?
Them.
Release salvation.
Salvation.
Release Yeshua. Release forgiveness and redemption. And we pray it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for meeting needs today.
Amen.
In the wonderful name of Yeshua. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer request right on the website. Our team here at Jewish Voice is committed to reading your prayer request, praying for you by name, because we believe in the power of prayer, and we care about you. More importantly, though, God cares about you, and he's watching over you. He asked us also to watch over Israel with him and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem on a daily basis, according to Psalm 122. So we urge you to do that as we close. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says they will prosper who love thee. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness and Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you. Six out of 10 Americans today don't currently have a will or trust, and another 30 to 35% are either poorly written or outdated. Because of your financial support to our ministry, we're able to provide you with independent, professional advice to help you develop a will or trust at no cost to you. Go to jvmi.org/trust to learn more.